I'm going to read a very long portion of it. Let's just start from verse 1. Now, let's start from... Okay, it said, the word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which you understand, stood as types for the body of Christ. There's a new Jerusalem, which is coming forth out of Christ Jesus himself. He said, now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Bible says he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. Please, before I read further, I want to emphasize verse 3, because that's the main thing actually that I'm discussing. It said, many peoples will come and say, that is, peoples here being nation, not individuals. But what's the issue? That they will come and say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That is the way things are supposed to operate. Now listen to this. God is a creator, all right? He created the heavens and the earth, and is still creating things till today. But the people he creates through, that's what I want to bring out. Every advancement that this earth will experience, especially when it comes to overturning the decadence that's been the society, will come forth out of Zion, out of the people of God. What I want to bring out, all right, I said how Christians get results. I'm talking about the fruitful life. Because there is, first, today, I'm sure I'll have the time. I want to define what success is. What is what? Success. That's what I want to define today first. So that you understand the purpose of God for your life. When we're talking about success, what it really means. All right? Now, when you will have succeeded, what will have happened is that you will have created for people, both in understanding and actually in reality, because through you, God will release forces into the earth, that what you have released will become a common law for people to understand. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. Let me say this. Now, everybody takes computers for granted, or let it mobile phones. I keep asking, how were we surviving before mobile phones came to be? Now, it's a common thing. But before mobile phones came, all right, people were in a kind of phony darkness, you know what I mean? Phone darkness. But having been released, every child, no matter how small he is, can operate a mobile phone. My son, as young as he is, I can tell him, call your mother. I'm serious about that. All right? Now, before the people who made the phones made it, it was a difficult task. But the moment they produced it, it's not easy for everybody. That's what I mean by people coming to learn laws. That is, you will bring forth from heaven certain principles that will make life easy for everybody afterwards, because you are connected to the center of creation. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. And I'll explain it further as we go on. Because Christianity, I'm talking about successes. Success is not about how much money I made. Success, let me summarize it before I'll still come back to define it. Success is in the story I can tell about how I did it. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Success is not in how I built a big ministry. So everyone asks and they say that, hey, that's Pastor Banky. Do you know he has 15,265 branches in all the continents of the world? Their ministry, they fly around in 7 private jets attached to the pastoral office alone. It's tell the story. You say, wow, that's not what God is calling success. Success is what are the stories to tell about how you got there. Do you get my point? Listen, to God, the story is more valuable than the material possession that came with it. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. I'll develop it further. I'm trying to bring out an issue here about the law. Let's just continue reading, then I'll sit down with my message. Now, Please, I want to just quickly jump down to verse 5. It said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord, for thou hast abandoned thy people, the house of Jacob. This is what they have been experiencing. This is how God abandoned them. Said, they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there's no end to their treasures. Said, their land also has been filled with horses, and there's no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with all of these things. You know what came out of it? With idols. And they worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. There is a day coming, that's what he's saying. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. Let me just stop there. All right, I'll pick some scriptures here to explain what I want to bring out. Now, I've already explained something, that your life is not average. Is that okay? That it is actually impossible. Let me explain the principle here. When he talked about in verse 6, he said, God abandoned his people. Why? Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they have become soothsayers like the Philistines. I taught something along this line some time ago. What does that mean? When we want to make projections for our lives, you know, I said all of this and I said, to let you know that your life is not average. Are you getting my point? That there are circumstances that cannot be plotted on graphs that makes your own graph go out of prediction. When they plot your background, you know, X, Y, you know, X and Y, and they plot where it can get to in life, they tell you that this is where you can reach and this is where you can reach. Why? Because of the known factors. What are the known factors? The things that you have already experienced in the past times. But then, you're supposed to go to a particular level. There's another force which they can't see that makes the graph they plotted wrong. But when we plot graphs the way the human people, the people of the earth plot graphs, what happens is that the Bible says that we are filled with influences from the east and we become soothsayers like Philistines. When we make predictions about our lives, that's why, you see, when we say these things, people don't understand what you're trying to explain. When I say something like, anybody can make it anywhere in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If somebody sent me a text, you know, I don't reply texts from people who ask doctrinal questions. I really don't. So I want to get into a text chat. Number one, I don't know you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then I start sending texts to and fro. So somebody sent me a text a few days ago that if I say success doesn't have geographical this thing, how come God said Abraham should go to another place? You know, it's a very stupid question. Don't you think so? The quotation he gave me just a confirmation of what I said. Is that not so? That I said that success doesn't, that you can succeed anywhere. You don't have to be in a particular place. He said, if that's the case, how come Abraham, God had to tell him to leave one place to go to another? And this is the point. As if God is looking for a good place for Abraham, forgetting that God is creating a good place for him. That actually where Abraham went was not physically speaking as good as where he was coming from. And that when Lot, all right, chose the beautiful place, Abraham was ready to choose the dry place. And when God spoke to the son of the same Abraham, what did he say? He said, stay in this land and don't go to the land that looks fruitful. And the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land. That was the land of famine. Do you follow my point? People say, now when we say things like that, and I told you before, that's why I hate being called a motivational speaker. Because I am not a motivational speaker. Please hear me in the name of Jesus Christ, your Savior and mine. I am not a motivational speaker. Motivational speakers, the job they do is different from the job I do. I am saying this, motivational speaker say, don't sleep, wake up, dig the earth. The earth is wet. I am saying, don't worry. If you are still feeling sleepy, sleep a little bit more. Once it's time to wake up, wake up. But don't wake up too early. It is vain. And that even though the earth be dry, dig it anyway, because God will pour water upon the thirsty land if you plant in it. That's what I'm saying. That's no motivation. Because if there's no power in the word I'm speaking, you dig it, you will fail. I don't know whether I get my point. If there was no creative force behind your activities, you would dig, you still fail. People talk about diligence, diligence. I said, listen to me. There have been many diligent men who failed. They said they labored without wisdom. There were those who labored with wisdom. And what they saw was failure. Don't tell me. Look, listen. You know what they call tsunami? How can you predict a tsunami? You can labor with wisdom and diligence. A tsunami will come and wipe everything away. And it is scriptural. All flesh is what? Grass. Please, are you getting what I'm not explaining? So when we say some of those things, people think that you're just talking about encouraging people. I'm not encouraging you. I'm prophesying. There's a world of difference between encouraging somebody and prophesying into his life. I can't encourage a dead man to live. Can you? But you can prophesy life into a dead man and he will wake up and find himself in front of his own tomb. And they say, how did I get here? He said, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That was not motivational speaking. You can motivate Lazarus from now to tomorrow. All he will experience is more decay. But when you speak life, all right, into Lazarus, Lazarus is lifted up without his cooperation. And is brought forth to the door of the tomb. And now say, lose him and let him go. That is, the man did not need to be loose to get to where he was. That was the force in the words that brought him forth. So when I'm preaching, that's why you hear me say it on radio. I said, it is not possible that anybody will hear me and believe what I'm saying and the person will be a failure. When I said it, I didn't mean that there are some hidden keys and principles that you will use, and when you have used them, you will discover that there's actually money in Nigeria. No. What I say is that even though money was not there when you began, it will come there because you began. That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't like being called a motivational speaker. I'm not motivating you. I'm speaking life into your system. I'm saying though you were dead, you will yet live. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm not motivating anybody. I'm prophesying. That is why faith is needed. You hold on to that word, it releases something into your system. Are you getting my point? Now, I was trying to say something. Now, that's the life of the believer. Now, the believer, listen, he goes against that which people said was the normal way. Because of a force beyond that which is ordinary. And then he produces the result. Do you follow my point? Then people now come. Now, this is the interesting part. Usually when you have produced something, God leaves like a remnant. I don't know how to say it. Certain, because part of your force of creation brings forth creative laws. And they can teach those laws to people coming after you. Are you getting the point I'm making? And then they will continue to get results because they are following somebody who had light. So John the Baptist was a light shining and people rejoice in his light for a season. This is the interesting part. You follow a man for a while. After a while, listen, the laws he brought to the earth will suddenly appear like they don't work anymore. I don't know. Let me use a practical business thing to explain. Dell became Dell, all right, because they brought forth something different into a particular setting. Computer manufacturing, selling, most importantly. So that they did what they call Dell Direct. No intermediary. No shops, just from Dell to you. So you come on the internet, tell them what you want, they tell you how much to pay, then they deliver it essentially custom made for you. Now, because they cut away a lot of intermediaries, they were able to drop their prices. Are you getting my point? Now, they dropped their prices very well, and the man became a billionaire before he was 40. Do you understand? Michael Dell. But this is the interesting part. Everybody copied Dell. I mean, you don't have a monopoly, really, copyright on that kind of marketing strategy. So after a while, Compaq did it. HP Compaq, they did it. Toshiba did the same. Acer did the same. All right? A lot of people did that so that their own price now also came down. Then along the line, heavy retailers like Walmart were being built, who, even though they were an intermediary, they were so efficient, they added no cost. Actually, they dropped your cost eventually because of the mass of products they would buy and the mass of customers they had. And they had their shops. I think they have over 2,000 Walmart shops in America. What am I trying to say? The edge that Dell had, they lost it. That's the thing about the man's light. After a while, it wears out. That's what the Christian is. He goes into the inner realms and brings forth another light for another generation. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Yes, so after a while, they were still doing Dell Direct. They woke up to reality. They lost market share. Finally, they signed an agreement with Best Buy. Best Buy and Walmart. And then they returned to the shops. I said, don't return first. Because all the shakara you were making about low prices and everything, people, instead of, when I had to buy a computer, it was headache. I wanted to buy a Dell. Because I love them, I waited for the 2 weeks that they required me to wait. While waiting, you know what I did? I walked into another shop right behind where I stayed, went into Circuit City, and bought a Toshiba for less than the price I was paying for the Dell. The only thing that kept me was because I just loved them. After a while, I would discover that Toshiba 2 is not bad. Next time I want a computer urgently, what will I do? I walk into another shop right behind my house. That's how they began to lose market share. So they now woke up to reality and say, okay, we will still maintain our direct deals, but in case you want an emergency deal, just walk down to Walmart. You will get one there. Now, you are getting my point. That is, that light, after a while, it lost the brightness. That's why you cannot sit on one man's light forever. Pastors, as an example, they all run to young children to go and learn the principle of church growth. After all of you learn it, everybody now does home cell. Start with young children. Everybody now runs to home cell. After a while, she wants to use a pull crowd, doesn't pull them anymore. You get my point? No, that's the way it is when you want to follow somebody else's light. But this is what I want to make. However, forget those who are following. I'm talking to you who's the champion. Are you getting my point? I'm talking to who? The champion. I'm talking to the person in Christ Jesus who God, through them, released new laws. Listen, these laws affect every aspect of life. What I mean is that there is a law that God will release in business. There is a law he will release in marriage. There is a law he will release in ministry. And usually when one man brings forth that law, there is a remarkable difference in his success materially. When I say materially now, I don't mean acquisition, but I mean outwardly for people to see. Then people begin to copy. That's what the Bible meant when it said the law will go forth from Zion. And many people will come and say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, that he might teach us his ways, that we might walk in his paths, because the law is coming forth out of Zion. And what am I teaching? That the believer in Christ Jesus is the person that's supposed to release those laws. Instead of trying to describe his life according to what the Philistines are saying to him on CNN, in the pages of the newspapers, and on the radio, and in chat rooms, and what people are discussing about how backward his place is. No. He should know that there is a law that he's supposed to release. And not an average man. Did I hear an amen? God made you to be a lawgiver. You know what it means to be a lawgiver? People think lawgivers means that I shall carry my microphone early in the morning and go and disturb those who are still sleeping. Thou shalt not steal. Moses told them that thousands of years ago. They don't need this from you now. You know what they need from you? They need a man who has a voice, who can tell them how politics is supposed to be done in the year 2009. Thou shalt not kill is a common law now. We all know it now. Are you getting my point? But somebody needs to write a new law. Oh, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, we have one scripture. I have a second one to read. And then I say what I want to say today. Define success and we'll get away from here. Quickly, the book of Isaiah, the book of Psalms chapter 40. For the law will go forth from Zion. Don't forget, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, Psalm chapter 40. Let me just start from verse 4. How blessed is the man whom has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Who are the proud? Those who knew the former laws. If you remember what we read from Isaiah chapter 2 just now, he said there's a day that's coming that God will bring forth, they bring down those who are lifted. All the proud will come down. That is, there's a day in which God will say, everything you thought you knew, it won't work. I like to quote this all the time. When the financial collapse in this modern day was going to happen, beginning from, actually a little bit from UK, then America. Along the line, when IGI lost 30-something billion dollars in 3 months. Was it 3 months or in 30 days? Anyway, whatever it is, they were losing half $1 billion a day, something like that. The money was so huge that most people couldn't... Okay, AIG. I call them IG. Sorry. AIG. The money was so huge that AIG lost that everybody, in such a small period of time, that everybody was confounded. And I will never forget what Richard Quest said on CNN. He brought out a report written by Goldman Sachs describing the financial instruments that men were using at that time. The Goldman Sachs people said, let me put my own words now, that the financial instruments had become so complicated that the managers, all right, were now confused as to the operation of, you know, you use the long grammar. Quest closed the news in the report and said, how did AIG lose 30-something billion dollars in this short space of time, like in one quarter? He says, simple. They did not know what they were doing. That's the summary of it. That is a proud. God brought them down. These were men writing laws. Listen for me. Listen to me. Writing laws for third world countries because you are owing them money. When you hear of structural adjustment, these were the people who wrote structural adjustment programs from IMF to tell us what to do with our lives. And I still remember then, Aluko, Sam Aluko, the renowned economist from then Ondo State, he used to say that they told him IMF, IMF. He said, what do you mean by IMF? What do you mean by World Bank? These are people. They were in class with me in London School of Economics, and most of them, I beat them in class. They said the regulation is good. He said, but you kill an economy when you deregulate it suddenly. Then when you want to deregulate, you deregulate bit by bit. That the people need time to grow, to be able to compete with the people you want to deregulate, you know, with. And they gave a man a Nobel Prize in economics for making the same statements that Luko was making the days of Bangida. Listen. What am I saying? The proud... The people were writing those laws. IMF, what happened to them? In one day, falling is Babylon. In one day, they came tumbling down. That's what the Bible wants to talk about, pride. You think you know how to do it? You know how many financial analysts we had on radio and on paper everywhere in Nigeria analyzing Nigerian stock market? Then one day, everybody just vanished. They didn't tell you where they went. They all left. God blew one day. The breath of God was blowing. And men were crumbling. He said, that's the day in which God brings down the proud. But the only people who survived those days, listen to me, are those who made the Lord their trust. I'll close just after defining what success is. He said, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who laughs into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I will declare and speak of them, that is those thoughts, they will be too numerous to count. What I want to bring out is that God has thoughts. Please, don't forget this. God has thoughts about your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
There are specific thoughts that God has to say about your health. And it's not written in the page of any medical textbook. There are specific thoughts that God has to say about your marriage. And there's no marriage counselor that has heard it before. There are specific thoughts that God has to say about your prosperity. You can go to all the business schools they have on this earth. You won't discover them. That's why the Bible says, David was saying here, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Let me give you something to do every morning when you wake up. Take a few minutes in a corner and give God thanks for the thoughts he has towards you. And pick a Bible and read. It's a simple strategy for prosperity in life. Very simple strategy. Realize that, look, listen, what is common to everybody? You know, I was talking the other day with some friends, and they would describe ministry. Listen, if you're a preacher, listen to this. Don't get carried away by glamour. Don't get carried away by prosperity. That's why a lot of preachers have abandoned their places and gone to prosperous places. There are those that God said, look, stay in Abakaliki, stay in Enugu, stay here. They have run to Lagos. Because when they talk and they hear their colleagues and mates in Lagos who are preaching less than they are preaching, the man probably preaches 30 minutes a week and does administration the rest of the time. And then when he's going out, he drives the finest cars, he flies first class, and he preaches in big conventions. He will fly to America and preach, fly to UK and preach, fly to South Africa and preach. And then you will look and say, after all, I preach as much more than this guy does. The problem is Enugu. So you pack and leave the place of destiny and disappear into Sodom and Gomorrah. Initially, you will prosper. That's the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the day of reckoning that's the problem. The day that Abraham will have to be praying that your life will be saved. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I was talking with my friends, they were discussing. After everything, my mind is that God has a specific thought about my life. God has what? A specific thought about my life. There is something that he spoke into my heart, into my life. Look, when he spoke that word was when my father married my mother. When he spoke that word, he gave my mother the ability to conceive when she conceived. When he spoke that word, he made sure I did not die inside the womb. Because of that word that he spoke, are you getting my point? I was born. That word was written in my heart. Let me quickly tell you what success is. I'll still get there in a moment. Success is that I write that law for the earth to read. I'll explain it further. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, that is those thoughts, they will be too numerous to count. Now it says, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, now because of those thoughts, because of the preparation, he said, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Let me stop reading there today. Now listen to this. I like the way Hebrews said. He said, a body that has prepared for me. This is what success is. Let me quickly say something to you about God. The Bible said that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, Hebrews verse 1, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now notice verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, what I want to bring out here is this. The Bible says that he's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. This is what I'm bringing out. Listen, there are many parts to God. You heard me say this before. He's called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You know what that means? There are three gods in one. Listen. There is a God of Banki, the God of Chukubike. Are you getting my point? The God of Chike, the God of Christian, the God of Akiolu. That's how you will count 6 billion people that are alive currently, and maybe 10 billion that live before now. And there is a part of God to describe in the life of each person. You were not conceived until God spoke a word that your life is supposed to describe as a representation of his person. What is success? Success is that my life describes God properly. Success is not money. Success is not material possession. There are those who have plenty of it, and God said that's a failure. Don't forget that our scripture from Revelation chapter 3. He said, because you said you are prosperous and you have need of nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched, blind, naked, lacking, you are in trouble, you soon go to jail, you don't know how difficult life is, you are really, really in spiritual mess. In a big spiritual mess. But outwardly, you look successful. Why? Because success is not material things. Because success is not what you achieved outside. Success is the law of God that was written upon your heart when you write it for the world to see. Listen, there are many stages of success. Let me close. I wrote some things here. I said success, these are stages of success. Don't bother writing this down. You will know the story, what I want to say. I said success is when Joseph does not sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. That is success. Because I said, it is not where you get to. It is the story to tell about getting there in describing the personality of God. Success is when you don't bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. So success, listen to me, is when, now listen to this. Success is when David has the opportunity to kill Saul and he doesn't. Success is when you have the power to turn your stones to bread and you don't. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Success, look, you see people brag about things they should be ashamed of. One man said, look, I'm not a prophet that's ashamed. When I got to the woman's house, I said, what do you have? He said, 50,000. I said, bring it first. I collected it and then I prayed. Success is when Gehazi allows Naaman to go. When Gehazi allows Naaman to go, that is success. It is not what Gehazi got. It is the law of God that you are describing in the getting of it. That is why God can look at a man who has materially and say, you are poor, you are wretched, you are blind, you are naked. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It's the story. So when Joseph went into jail, God said, that's a successful man being led into glory. You follow what I'm saying? That's what success is. Because the real thing about success is that I'm describing the personality of God. Not that I'm making money. Not that I'm being, you know, materially I'm becoming successful. No. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, he said them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. Listen, if you will succeed truly, material success attaches itself to you without your trying. If you will take hold of that which is success indeed. That is why I told you that common laws, let me tell you about common laws that we describe as even spiritual ones. We don't use common spiritual laws to get results as believers. We only cooperate because what God does is that when God is said to bless you, all right, he will bring forth in your direction something good that you will do so as to provoke a blessing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, if you haven't read it. He knows what to you because he says that, look, I won't break the common laws like that. You know, like, I'll make a wicked man. All right? I'll make him live. But there are times I want to bless the man that was wicked. So what do? I make my son die for his sin, and I provoke faith in the heart of the man that is wicked. And because of his faith, he does not die. And people said, that man was a wicked man, was supposed to die. He said, no, there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He knows how to provoke the common laws to work in your favor. He knows how to do it. If a man is truly successful inside him, are you getting my point? Then naturally, the outward success will attach itself to him. That is why I don't like when Christians, especially, look, you can do business seminars, it's good. I have no problem with it. But when we go to church, let's do church. I don't know whether you get my point. Because
there's a pillar of truth that we are. There's a kind of truth that we release. Then we start writing new laws. Because most of these business seminars is old laws that are being recycled, which fail eventually. Network marketing is in vogue. In one day, it will vanish. Believe me, you will say bank is said, that will vanish. There was a time in this our country to make money big, just be a distributor of Coke or beer or something. And you're very rich instantly. Once you say, what does his father do? He's a distributor. Eh, babake. But a time came in which Coca-Cola, I think it was Nigerian Breweries, employed graduates and HND holders and made them truck drivers. My wife was working UBA then, Station Road. And at the end of the day, you see these young men driving these brand new trucks. You know why? They wanted people that could reason on their level to go around selling Crush. I remember Crush then, and their drinks. So the young men would go drive their... You could stop them anytime and buy any crate because they were tired of distributors stockpiling for Christmas and jacking up the prices. Why did they build the brewery, you know, the refinery, that's what I like to call it. All right? They are refining the stuff and they're not getting the money. Listen, that is, you learn old laws. You rejoice in that life for a season. But the one who will really succeed as a child of God is the one that's like this, like a scribe that have been instructed in the matters of the kingdom. And then from his storehouse, he brings forth treasures, both old and then what? New. It's that new one that makes a man different. Brings forth new laws that people did not know existed. He writes a path of God for his generation to see. What is success? To be able to describe a path of God for your generation to see. That is what success is. Success is not what you got to. The law you wrote while getting it. And what is that law? What with the one that God wrote in your heart? Let me close with the words of Henry Ford. I wanted to quote it verbatim, but I didn't remember to bring it. Next time I'll start with it. Henry Ford said, the success about the Ford Motor Company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. He said, but that Ford Motor Company, the success thereof, has enabled me to prove to people that my method of doing business is correct and theirs is wrong. Are you getting my point? He wrote a law until today. Listen, you buy a Kia now in Nigeria, Nissan, Peugeot, all those cars, Toyota, they give you 3-year warranty, 100,000 kilometers. Who started that? Ford. He wrote a law. People are still copying it today. He said, if I cannot make a machine that will be able to boast that it won't stop working, why should I sell it to you? His warranty was a way of boasting that this is my machine, pay for it, it will serve you. Now everybody is copying it. This is my own. I will write a law of ministry. Are you getting my point? Yes, and people will copy. I will describe a path of God for the world to see. I hope you've learned something today. If you have, say amen.